American race relations are deeply marked by the era called Jim Crow, a system of legal segregation in the South that lasted from 1890 well into the 1960s. Named after a minstrel character, Jim Crow meant blacks attended separate schools, sat in colored-only train cars, and were intimidated from voting.
Everybody was scared to go. Because, you see, the white man is the one who had the gun. And then you would fear for your own life. You feared for your family's life. So you just wouldn't do it.
But Jim Crow is remembered quite differently by whites who lived through the period. Anthropologist Kate Ellis spent a year interviewing whites in southwestern Louisiana about segregation. Her story is part of an American Radio Works documentary on the Jim Crow era.
New Iberia lies deep in South Louisiana's bayou country. This part of the state is called the Sugar Bowl because sugarcane is the primary crop. It's a small town, just 35,000 people. About a third of them are black. On the main street, you can still find some of the antebellum homes that belong to the plantation gentry, complete with white columns and towering oaks. Some of the homes belong to the great-grandchildren of the plantation owners. Most of the older whites I spoke to remember growing up in a culture where there was simply no question. Blacks were inferior and treated as such.
Well, my name is Barra, Leonard Barra Jr., and my connection with New Iberia is I was born here in 1917 on East Main Street. That was very segregated, without a doubt. My father or me would not have dreamed of shaking hands with a black person.
Do you remember any whites openly questioning the way things were?
Certainly not. Oh, heavens no. Why? Why would they have questioned it? I mean, this is the way it was.
What about blacks? Do you remember blacks ever
raising the question?
Yes.
No. No. They knew their place.
Whites sometimes had close relationships with blacks who worked for their families. Henry Dotrieve is also from the plantation aristocracy. As a boy, Henry says he learned one of his sharpest lessons about the color line in his family's kitchen.
We had a handyman, chauffeur, aide-de-camp, whatever, who worked for my father. And he often sat in the kitchen waiting his orders, and I loved him to death. He taught me how to ride a bicycle. He taught me how to shoot a gun. And so I ran in the kitchen at age 7. I jumped in his lap, and I kissed him on the mouth. Well, he sat there, and then he tried to explain to me that I couldn't do this. He tried to say, "You can't kiss black folks." It just puzzled me.
When some whites look back on the Jim Crow period, they often describe blacks as apathetic, as not being interested in furthering themselves or getting a better education.
It is an attitude that the whites have that the black is inferior. I'm not at all sure that they're wrong. Today, even, I'm not at all sure. In fact, I tend in that direction to think it because I've watched it now with interest for so many years.
Most older whites I spoke with in Iberia Parish think like Henry Dotrieve and Leonard Barrow. They remember Jim Crow as something that was wrong and unfair to blacks, but they don't feel any particular remorse about it. They say it's just the way things were. Some recall that it wasn't so bad for blacks. They say whites often cared for them when they were sick or gave them food and money when they were broke. Segregation, as they see it, was a benign arrangement.
They looked up to the white people, I tell you. They knew that's where their bread was buttered. You know, the white people helped them, gave them work and everything.
This recording is with Mary Laveau, who asked me not to use her real name. Mary's lived her entire 91 years in Iberia Parish and belongs to one of the old plantation families. Mary was raised by a black nanny and surrounded by black tenants on her family's farm. She says the black people who worked for her family were poor but happy.
They had a little church back there, and they would sing the most beautiful gospel music, sing, you know. And sometimes we'd go there at night and park about a block away just to listen. They just had that rhythm. Mm-hmm. And their way of life, I think they were happier than the white people because nothing worried them, you know. Some white people, they were worried of sometimes about losing their land or trying to make things go. You know, they were the leaders. But the black people, nothing bothered them.
But looking back 40 years after segregation was dismantled, Dion and Smitty Landry say they regret being oblivious to the hardships blacks faced in Louisiana.
I think that when we were growing up, we did have the attitude that they're happy, they're getting along, and, why should we care about them or sense the injustice and unfairness?
No one ever ran over with the casserole. My regret is the thought that when they went home at night after they worked for Mueller, I didn't care if they had heat. I didn't care if they had food. That was not at all on my mind.
Virtually all older whites I spoke to believe racism may not have vanished, but it no longer holds blacks down. The Landrys add that people who call attention to past discrimination are just prolonging the problem.
I think that we should, put that behind us and say, okay, you are what you make of yourself now. We're giving you all the opportunities you can have. Do not belabor the question of what happened in the past and how bad it is, and we should give you things. I think that is a psychologically defeating attitude. It will hold that whole race black if you keep back.
It happened to their ancestors.
You need retribution because of all of this. Well, I don't think that's healthy.
The Landrys and others urge blacks not to dwell on the past. But many whites are nostalgic about their own family histories. Leonard Barrow, for one, says he never got a chance to enjoy the comforts of being from the plantation gentry.
I didn't inherit enough to buy my wife's Oldsmobile when my folks finally died. But my grandparents' grandparents had 3 plantations over on the Mississippi River. I don't know how many slaves they had. Been awful nice, you'd go hunting. Boy, clean those ducks, skin that deer, shine my shoes. I believe I could have gone for that. Yeah, I think you could have too.
Some whites I spoke with in Iberia Parish feel race relations were better during Jim Crow than they are today. Blacks and whites' lives were more connected, they say, and there was more affection between them. Now, they sense blacks are angry and resentful. There's more tension. Others disagree. They see white and black children playing together in the schoolyard and feel race relations have improved. During my year in Louisiana, I also spoke to a lot of older African Americans about Jim Crow. One man often wept as he recalled the days when white people called him boy, even though he was a grown man. Memories of Jim Crow are sharp as ever among older blacks, and they see modern-day racism as a direct legacy of Jim Crow. For many of the whites I talked to, that legacy doesn't exist. They say Jim Crow ended 40 years ago and is better off forgotten.
Kate Ellis is an anthropologist from Boston. These memories of rural Louisiana are part of a book and CD set, Remembering Jim Crow. Morning Edition's report was produced by Stephen Smith and Sasha Aslanian of American Radio Works, the documentary project of Minnesota Public Radio and NPR News.